Hi, Elin.
It's Paul from 95BFM in Auckland, New Zealand.
Yeah.
How are you?
Hi, how are you?
I'm really good. I'm really excited about your show coming up, as well as talking to you.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, we're excited to come back.
How's Boise? Is it Boise or Boise?
Boise.
Boise, Idaho. How is that?
Yeah.
I struggled to find it on a map, and I thought I knew heaps about America. I forgot to...
It's good. It's the capital of Idaho and the biggest city, but that's not saying a whole lot because there aren't really any other cities for many, many hundreds of miles.
Yeah, it did appear that...
So it's quiet. It's how I like it.
A lot of space. Yeah, it looked like that up there in the northwest. So you've got a relatively new blues album that came out,
yeah.
I think, last year, which I've been lucky enough to just have a listen to.
Came out in September.
It suits your voice. I mean, there's so much of your catalogue that I really enjoy, so it's quite nice to hear some blues, and Jerry gets a bit of a blues workout on the guitar as well. You know, he must enjoy
yeah,
that.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, blues workout. That's a good way to describe it.
And I did read that you felt a little bit conflicted being a white girl from Idaho doing the blues.
Yeah, it's still, I kind of think of it as just one of the many unresolved questions of my life, whether I have a right to sing the blues. But all I know is that I really enjoy it, and I just love the music, so.
Yeah, I think it's like, it's part of us, isn't it? Don't you think? It's almost a part of human consciousness and a lot of the world.
Yeah, I see it as being, yeah, definitely part of everyone's, I mean, anyone who listens to modern music has been influenced by the blues, and it's part of our zeitgeist. It's in the soil.
There's been a few younger artists coming through from the States lately, like Reverend Peyton's Big Damn Band came through, and I sort of realised that when I was young, I was listening to a lot of blues, and you're looking at an old man, John Lee Hooker, Muddy Waters. Now suddenly I'm kind of 20 years older than the last guy that came through Auckland playing the blues, you know, so it's a little bit strange.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I never really think about an age for those guys. They just,
yeah,
always seem ageless to me, or timeless, you know, and a lot of them died fairly young, and that never even really occurred to me that was a possibility either, that... You know, they just always all seem to be kind of beyond time.
Yeah, yeah. One of my favorite Ellen Jewell songs would be The Flood, which, you know, pretty much, you know, it's about 10 years old now, but it calls out the administration of the U.S. around the you know, New Orleans and stuff. Do you still dabble in that sort of writing, that sort of political statement making almost?
Well, I didn't for a long time, and I wanted to just stay. I wanted to keep my politics out of my music, and a lot of that had to do with when I released Boundary County, my first record. I did get some backlash from that, and from The Flood, and one angry fan actually sent back the CD to my label with a message scratched into the surface of the CD, and wrote, "Politics has no place in folk music," in this very angry scratch. And it freaked me out because,
wow,
I was just a kid back then, you know, just in my mid-20s, and I didn't know what I was getting myself into, and I knew that I felt really strongly about how badly our administration failed those people. But I didn't really know how to handle backlash, so I just kind of withdrew for a good decade. And then ever since Trump has taken the presidency, I've been having a harder time keeping my mouth shut. And so I've been getting even more backlash lately, even though I really have only so far made one public comment, and it was in a Spanish newspaper when an interviewer asked me what books I thought Trump was reading, and I said that I mean the quote was, "I believe Trump doesn't read any books." And that, of course, became the headline because anything Trump sells these days, you know. So then we posted a photograph of the article, and this was our mistake, on our Facebook page because we thought it was kind of funny. I don't know, you know, it was interesting, and someone asked me directly what I thought, and I said what I thought. I answered the question, and oh, you would not believe the shitstorm that happened on account of that. Oh, so many people just irate on both sides, you know. We just kind of stood back and watched them all fight amongst themselves. Our country is so divided right now.
Yeah, well, that's sort of my next two questions were going to be, was there a backlash, and what about Trump? So, yeah, because one of the things I liked about the song was how direct it was.
Uh-huh.
You know, and that's one of the things I guess I like about, I don't want to call it country music, but like a lot of American rural folk sort of music, I like directionless rather than some obscure set of words that means something. Whereas, you know, in that song, calling out the administration as racist was an awesome piece of writing. But yeah, it's interesting how many people don't like that sort of thing, I guess.
Yeah, well, thanks for your compliments. That's what I was going for, the direct hit, and I tend to also get lost in imagery if I'm listening to a song that's too heady or too full of symbolism.
Yeah.
I lose interest. But honestly, that song was written as just I was reading a newspaper article. I was reading quotes of firsthand accounts, and a lot of those accounts just went directly into the song. You know, they like blown out windows, rooftops gone. Mm. But I just read it and then wrote it. You know, it wasn't something I just came up with. And I think that's part of what I wanted to do also, was kind of give wings to those words that people who were there on the ground seeing this happen and seeing this colossal failure, I wanted to kind of further that. And I was surprised at how small of a reaction I felt like the musical world gave Katrina. And it's such a musical city, you know?
Yeah. I guess that the other role that you play as an artist in these times is relief from what we're talking about, you know, just pure entertainment and joy and shuffling your feet along and swinging your hips.
Yeah, and some people think that, they think very passionately that that's the role that I should play and I should stay in that role. And I think that works great for a lot of entertainers and artists, if that's how they want to do it. I mean, that's how I chose to do it for a long time. But maybe it's because I'm approaching my 40s, and I've just kind of felt like I've done the hush up and entertain kind of thing, you know, or shut up and sing. Or I don't know what it is. Maybe it's now that I'm a mother. I just feel like I'm having a harder time keeping my mouth shut about the things that I see. So it's funny that you ask, because I did just write a very political song. It's extremely direct. It's maybe a little too direct. It's going to get me in a lot of trouble. We just recorded it, and I want to release it and just see what happens. And if people disagree with me, that's completely fine. But I just have to be prepared to duck.
You've got to have the discussion about anything, don't you? You know, you can't just go, that's a terrible thing, let's just hide it over there. You know, it's good to out, right, you know, issues.
That's how I see it. And if people don't want to change the issues that are confronting us today, then okay. But let's at least talk about it. You know, let's at least get it out there on the table. And the only way that I know of to get issues out on the table is to write songs about it. So my political song that I just recorded is it's extremely it's very much questioning the pay gap in America between men and women, and just also this administration's treatment of women, and the way that, at least you know the famous quote about grabbing women in the pussy.
Yeah.
That quote that
class
that, Trump said. Yeah, pure class. And So that's like, you know, that's what we're dealing with now. And let's talk about that. You know?
Yeah. And I guess that's a nice thing that I guess brings us back around to the blues, you know, is those themes are universal. Loneliness, poverty, hungry, you know.
Yeah, and there are political songs too, you know, like I can think of a Mississippi Chic song where they question sales tax, you know, and how that affected them personally. Because politics is not this thing that's removed from our lives. It is our lives. It's because we're, you know, in theory, we're the government of the people. So whatever the government does affects the people and vice versa. Because we are, I mean, people are the government. At least that's one way of looking at it. And so I've always been a little bit puzzled by anyone who says that they're not political because... Well, you are a person and you exist in society.
Very confused by the person who thinks there's no place for politics and folk music.
Have you listened to folk music?
Yeah. When you last played in Auckland, your on stage presence is so witty and charming and warm and funny. Do you bring in any of the politics into that now that you've decided not to keep your mouth shut? And will you play The Flood or the new song when you're in Auckland?
Yeah, my MO has always been that if people ask for The Flood, I'll play it.
I'm asking for it now.
Okay. Okay. I'm gonna try really hard to work it back into the set list.
I'll be the guy losing my shirt up the front.
Okay. But I don't talk much about politics from the stage because I do know that I have some fans who are also, you know, also we have family members who are conservative and who voted for Trump, which I mean that's something that we have to deal with. And I don't want to alienate anybody or make them feel bad during my show. I think I want the songs to speak for themselves.
Yeah.
And maybe, you know, maybe the songs get them to think about, I don't know, about American politics and their voting patterns and what they stand for. I think a lot of Americans are single issue voters. Yeah. So especially among the conservatives, they just want to vote along the party line for, it's basically just reproductive rights versus abortion, you know, pro-life, pro-choice, and that's it. And they don't see how everything else is affected too, you know, and they often vote against their own best interests. So we have some things we have to deal with, and I know that I'm not going to fix all the problems, but I don't want to stand by and... You know, years from now, Mavis, my little girl, will ask me, what did you do when these things were happening? Did you do anything? Yeah. Did you speak up for anybody? And I don't want to say, no, I was too scared because someone told me to shut up.
Is it nice to get out of the States and go on tour and maybe forget about all of that for a while and just play your music on the road?
It is wonderful to get out of the States. It's always like... I feel like I can breathe a little bit more. And I mean, I love the U.S. I love Idaho. I love living here. And there's a lot of really great things about it. It's home with a capital H, but right now it feels like a dysfunctional home. And I need to just get away from my dysfunctional home, go to my friend's house for a while, you know?
Yeah.
And just get some perspective on it. And it's amazing, like ever since... Trump took office, when we land on foreign soil, it's like it just feels like just a little bit further away from all the nonsense. I know every country has their own nonsense, but I mean, in the U.S. right now, almost every other day there's a mass shooting. You know, in a school or, you know, in a workplace, and it's just this atmosphere, it's just really stifling. Oh, it's so obvious to everyone else. I know, and I don't know why we're so confused by it. It's just, it's like this thing we can't let go of, you know? And the wording in the Constitution is the right to bear arms, and it doesn't say witch arms, obviously, because a lot of these things didn't exist back then. And yet,
exactly.
They just can't talk sensibly about it. It's so frustrating. It's rough, especially in this red state where we have this crazy number of guns per capita. We don't have a lot of people, but it's almost like we have more guns than people here in Idaho.
But Idaho must have been one of the last places kind of settled, being in the northwest and the migration going across from the east. It must have been pretty wild for a long time there.
It really was, And parts of it, I mean, a big percentage of the state is still just designated wilderness. I don't mean just, because I think designated wilderness is awesome and amazing, but you know, it's not, it still hasn't been tamed, quote unquote, and probably never will be, because it's just too rugged. And that's part of what I love about the state so much and what made me want to move back. And yet it's also part of what makes it still, you know, we still think that we are in the Wild West, and you know, we still have one foot in that vigilante mentality too, of taking the law into our own hands. And so, and then there's this strange distrust of the federal government that goes along with it. And I don't quite understand that either, because this is all federal land. It's all protected, you know, under national laws. And so, I don't know, it's just this big, confusing mess, and no one wants to really move forward. No one wants to talk about it in a civil discourse. It just has to be, you know, all, you're going to take my guns, and, you know, then it just shuts down.
Hey, I better let you go. I think I've overstayed my 20-minute welcome, and I know you'll have other calls and things to do and stuff.
Well, it was great talking to you.
I'm really looking forward to your show. I know it's a couple of months away still, but I'll be chanting for the flood. I know all the other stuff's important, but it's just such a good song, and as so many of them are. And
And thanks for reminding me about the flood. I don't mean to push it aside, but you know, I leave it up to people to ask. So
yeah, I don't mean to make everything else not seem as wonderful, because it certainly is. You know, I love your music, and I'm looking forward to pushing your show and trying to fill that room for us.
Oh, cool. Well, thank you so much for your support. I appreciate it.
Okay, thank you very much.
We'll see you soon.
See ya. Bye.
Okay, bye.
Ellen Jewell is playing the Tuning Fork on June 2nd, I believe.